So Joyce, you should be the first one out there to sign up on that little list at the Welcome Center. And by faith, put your friends on there. Amen. Let's look into Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 14, we're also going to be in John 6. We're going back in to talk about what we started on last Sunday. I'm not sure how long we'll be in this, but I know we're definitely in it today. It's called, What Do You See? Everybody say that with me. What do you see? Come on, say it, everybody. Come on, what do you see? Here in Matthew chapter 14, there is a storm, or it's not even really indicated. It is a storm because the waves and the wind, I mean, it's not a normal night. There is definitely something that's set up on the Sea of Galilee. But it's not the storm that maybe is spoken about in Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus steps to the bow of the boat after being asleep on a pillow. And the disciples come, and at that moment he says, oh, you have little faith. And I talked about it last week, what that definition is for little faith, and it's undeveloped faith. It doesn't mean that it's distrust, doesn't mean that it's unbelief. It's just undeveloped. Did you hear that? Because I think oftentimes when we think of little faith, we think there is no faith. But how many know there's still a little when you got a little, right? Amen. There's still something there. And so it's undeveloped. It's something that needs to be developed. Just as a muscle is faith, it has to be developed by what? Being in situation to work it out and hold on to God, and then God make the way where there is no way. And that distrust, that unbelief, that might be there waging war, but you got a little bit of faith left, we begin to evade and evaporate, and then faith will arise, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We please God by having faith in him to believe that he is God and a reward of them that diligently seek him. Come on, can I get an amen today? So in Matthew chapter 8, there's that storm. How many remember that account, that storm, when he is in the boat, they're on their way to the other side, the storm hits, the boat is filling up. It's a storm. So much so that even the commercial fishermen that were disciples were fearful for their own life. They woke him up and said, don't you care that we're going to die out here? Come here, no, that's a storm. Come on, can I get an amen, right? That's a storm. But now this is in the middle of the night. It's that fourth watch, which is from 3 to 6 a.m. In the middle of the night, on their way across that same sea, there is contrary winds, which is unfavorable winds or headwind, that we're trying to row our way towards the destination that Jesus said we should go. Look here what it says in Matthew 14, 22. The word says there, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other. Everybody say to the other side. Yes. Go before them to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, he just fed the 5,000, which we know is more than just 5,000. Only the men were counted. There were much more besides just the men, wives and children. So 25 or 30,000 were fed, and they were already caught up in the momentum of that miracle. Then he said immediately, which means straightway. It means quickly. I like this word, suddenly. Suddenly he looked to them and said, get in the boat, go to the other side. Matthew chapter 8, the story I spoke of just a moment ago, is where Jesus got in the boat, then said, get in the boat with me, and they were heading to the other side. But now they're alone in that boat, on their way, in the middle of the night, rowing against a headwind or an unfavorable wind. And the Bible says in verse 23, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself. He's on this side, they're headed to the other. He said he would meet them there. But at that moment, he's by himself, and the Bible said that he himself went to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. It goes on to read and tell us, as it's being tossed by the winds and the waves, Jesus comes walking to them on the water, doing what cannot naturally be done, doing what others are unable to do, because he is the Son of God. The Spirit of God rests upon him. And the Bible says the disciples saw three things. Two of those things required faith, and one of those things were just the reality. The reality is that there were winds and there were waves, and there was a contrary, unfavorable wind that was keeping them from making their way to the other side. The Sea of Galilee is only about 8 miles wide. John chapter 6 tells us that they're about 3 or 4 miles into the middle of this endeavor. That's right in the middle. Look at somebody and smile, say, right in the middle. Tell somebody, right in the middle. And then look back and say, you got to buy chili. Tell somebody, you got to buy chili, right? Because it's hard to think, isn't it? Just right now, chili is like bacon or popcorn, right? You can't ignore it. So just figure it out, all right? Just figure it out. Try to think on Jesus right now. That'll be out there for you later. I see some of you just kind of going like that, like you're sniffing towards the foyer. But everybody, Jesus, amen. We're thinking about Jesus. The Bible tells us there how that there were winds and waves. That was the natural thing. What is that? That is the storm and the battle that you and I find ourselves in today. We cannot deny the facts. Now look at me and listen. Faith doesn't mean that we disqualify or we deny the facts. Faith is, in spite of the facts, we trust that God is a way-making God, a mountain-moving God, a God that can take us through the valley onto the other side, because our God is good, our God is powerful, and our God is all that. Come on, somebody. If you believe that, can you say amen today? Faith doesn't mean that we defy or we deny the facts. It's not somehow sticking our head in the spiritual sand and saying it is not here, it is not here, or it is not that, or it is not that, or it will not be that way. Listen, if you have a headache, you have a headache. Now, you can pray, and you should in everything pray and ask God, but also God has also provided Advil. Amen. Ask God. Also take Advil, and it will help. But walking around saying it is not here, it is not that, will not change your natural circumstance. That's not faith. Faith is believing that these things that are there can be handled by the God that controls all of the universe. So the faith was not required to see the winds. The faith was not required in seeing the waves. The faith was not required to know that there was a wind that was keeping them from going to the other side. It was unfavorable. And look and listen today. There will be moments and times in your journey, either by the attack of the enemy or just the circumstances of life, or look or listen, or maybe even by the hand of God, that there might be a wind that's contrary or unfavorable, or you know you're destined for the other side and you're working as hard as you can, but on an 8-mile trek, you're only about 3.5 to maybe 4 miles in. Don't in any way somehow feel like you are disqualified because you are in the middle and somehow not there yet. Listen, if God said it, it will be accomplished. Hold on and watch God make the way where there is no way. Amen. But don't try to trick yourself and say that it's not what it is. If it is that, call what it is, that it is this thing you're facing, and then begin to say, you know what? But God, where my son is lost, I see them in the future saved. Where my father-in-law is sick and battling for his life, I declare he's healed and on his way back. Amen. My finances are struggling. Father, I believe there's a season coming where there's more than enough. Amen. Where I've seemingly lost my joy, Father, I pray that joy will come. It will flow into my life. Where I've lost strength, come on, do you hear what I'm saying today? There'll be a season where I'll have my strength restored by the power of God. You might be in the middle. Acknowledge where you are, but then trust God to move you out from where you are onto the other side. That's faith. Come on, somebody. That's faith. The Bible tells us here that they've been battling all night long, and not only did they see the reality of the storm, but then the two things that required faith is they saw a ghost, because it takes faith to believe that's a ghost that they see in the middle of the night. It also takes faith to believe that it's Jesus. Where we put our faith, in fear or in the faith in the Son of God, will determine how quickly we're able to come out of our battle and our storm. They saw first a ghost, thinking that somehow peril was coming, but then Jesus called out in the middle of that and said, be of good cheer, or take courage, it is I. When they heard his voice, they knew it was Christ, and then boldness rose up inside of them. Let me finish out and read the rest of this chapter. The Bible says there in verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, verse 26, in Matthew 14. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. That took faith for them to believe what they saw was an apparition or a ghost. Verse 27 says, but immediately, everybody say immediately. As I said, the definition for that word is quickly or straightway. I like best suddenly. As they were full of fear and now having faith in something false, something fear-filled, a ghost, Jesus speaks immediately. He suddenly speaks and says, right there, you see it, be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. And then in response to that, the Bible says that Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Allow me to do what would swallow others up. Allow me to do what you're only able to do, and only by your power and only by your might. You know, in those moments when we are overwhelmed, when we could be full of fear, but yet we hear God's voice. We hear it through a sermon. We hear it through a worship song. We hear it in our time of prayer. We hear it as we're pursuing God in his word. Listen, if you're not in the word, then you're at moments when you need it the most, unable to draw on what you've not drawn from. But if you are drawing on the word of God when you need it most, you can draw from it strength and courage so that you can hear, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid, and you'll not believe the fear that you see, but you'll look and see Jesus in the middle of your storm, and then boldness will rise up inside of you where you believe that you can step out on things that would have swallowed you before. Step out on what would have consumed others, and you're able to walk on the water because God is a water-walking, miracle-working God. Amen. Look at somebody. Find somebody and say, you can do all things through Christ. Tell somebody you can do all things. Come on, tell somebody. Challenge somebody. Find somebody. Some of y'all just looking at me. Come on, find somebody and say, you can do all things through Christ. Tell somebody you can do all things through Christ. Come on, tell somebody you can do all things through Christ. But you've got to have the Word of God operating in your life so when you need it the most, you can draw from it and it will bring courage to you. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, receiving the Word of God. That's the way the Word works. If you get it in your life, then you have faith to pull from it when you need it the most. Come on, church. Come on, church. The Bible said in verse 28, he said, bid me to come to you. So in verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the reality, he had his eyes of faith on Jesus. He had a bold ask of, let me come out of the boat and walk on the water with you. But then the reality of the situation, he looked to the right or to the left. But when he saw the wind and that it was boisterous, verse 30, he was afraid and began sinking, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And here's another immediately. And immediately, not only did he say, immediately get into the boat, go to the other side, not only when fear filled their heart, he immediately responded, say, be of good cheer, it is I. But now when Peter begins to slip under the wave, when he's no longer able to do what he once was able to do, when all of a sudden his natural got in the way of the supernatural, he began to slip under into the midst of the circumstance. Immediately, because our God saves. Come on, can I get an amen? Immediately, the Bible says, that means straightway, that means quickly or suddenly, Jesus reached out. The word actually says there in the New King James, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of undeveloped, not disbelief. How many know you can't be out on the water if you don't believe? Amen. You can't be out there on the water, walking on the water, if somehow you just trust God. But he says, still yet what? Undeveloped faith. Why do you have doubt? And then the Bible says in verse 33, and when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. John 6 and 21 tells us this account in this story where it also says immediately, quickly, or straightway, or suddenly. Verse 21 of John chapter 6 says that when they willingly accepted him into the boat, that they were immediately to the other side. What I want to quickly just kind of bring before you and challenge you today, that you're not here by accident. You're supposed to hear this today, that God has supernatural acceleration for your life and for your family. If you receive that today, can you say amen? Now, I do know when God says to get into the boat and go to the other side, God requires you and I to be obedient. That is an expression of faith when we're obedient to the task. First and foremost, what I know will help cultivate supernatural acceleration in your and my life is to be sure to do these things. And first is to be faithful. Write that down or put that in the memo of your phone. You need to get that. If you want supernatural acceleration, what we see here is he said, get in the boat, go to the other side. It requires you and I to be faithful. If they said, no, Lord, Matthew chapter 8, just a couple of days ago, you got in the boat, then we got in. No, we're waiting for you. No, Jesus said, get in the boat, go to the other side. I'll handle the crowd. I'll meet you on the other side. You and I are required to be faithful. When you and I are faithful to our assignment, whatever it is, God will bring blessings into your and my life, wherever the place is, wherever we're serving, whatever talents and gifts that we have, it requires you and I to be faithful. If you believe that, can you say amen today? Disobedience to his direction, disobedience to what he says will only leave you out in the middle stuck. But obedience to his direction, get in and go, is just as powerful as when he delivers us from the storm. To God's account, God's understanding, it means so much more to him than even the breakthrough at the end is that you're willing to believe him in the midst of the battle. Did you hear that today? Now, to God, what's greater than the breakthrough, to you and I, we celebrate the breakthrough, but God loves to see sons and daughters that are willing to get in the boat, work their way out into the middle, not be sure what's going to happen, but hold on and trust God in faith, and then God show up the way he desires, when he desires, how he desires, only for his glory, to bless us, which is what? To extravagantly load us with blessings, and then all of the glory goes to him. If God is really cultivating, and you're in my life, the muscle of faith, What he's going to do is going to allow you and I to be in situations where faith will be required. And then as it's required, it'll touch the heart of God. And then when the conclusion comes, when the way is made, when the immediate, the suddenly takes place, no one can say you had anything to do with it. No one can look and say, well, what was amazing that happened because they did this. They can only look and really speak what the word says, that if it had not been the Lord on their side, where would they be? They would be shipwrecked and unable, stuck out in the middle. But God made the way where there was no way. How many have ever seen God make the way when you know you didn't have enough? You didn't know enough. You didn't know all the right people. You wasn't sure how it was going to happen. But God showed up. Come on, somebody. But God showed up and made the way. Boy, I feel bold to push into that because we're living on the crest of that right now, even in our family, where that there's no way that we could have accomplished any of what is going on with my father-in-law. Honestly, when we walked out of the room having the first conversation with him after he had woke up, my son Connor said, I never thought I would have a chance to speak to him again. I never thought I'd have a chance to hear his voice again, even though because of the ventilator and because of what had happened, there was such a gravelly, low tone of voice. And we stood in front of him and Nene was saying, who is this? And he goes, that's Gwen, with his voice. And he saw Connor and he said, it's Connor. And then I had my ball cap on and I was kind of standing in front of him and he couldn't really make it out. And he was looking at me and he said, of course, Gwen. And Connor looked at me and he said, Chester. I mean, I'm not Chester, amen. I was like, who's Chester? I don't know. Gwen, who's Chester? Is that the guy he wanted you to marry? Who's Chester? I'm gonna have to find Chester. I take my ball cap off, quit. He goes, oh, Tony. It's like, yeah, that's right. Your son-in-law, 28 years, Tony. I'm telling you, Noah, we were powerless in this. But what happened was, even though the winds were real, the storm is still real today. We could have leaned into our fear and only saw the worst outcome, but instead we fixed our eyes on Jesus as a family, and outside of us, others were also believing in faith. And so what I can tell you today, now 9 to 10 days removed from him being taken in, he's a whole lot better than he was back then. And I believe that God is working it all together for his glory, God's glory, amen, in the life of my father-in-law. Come on, if you believe that, can you say amen today? It requires you and I to be faithful right there in the midst. And when you're obedient to the direction of God, God's more excited about you going in than even you coming out. Because, listen, he knows he's bringing you out, but he's not sure about if you're willing to follow him in. He's not sure that when the edict comes down that no one can pray if Daniel's going to go up there and pray. Now, of course, he knows all things, but yet we are free moral agents. We can do what we will more than what. He cannot control us. We do what we want. But Daniel went back and prayed 3 times. He didn't let what was going on in society control his desire to pray. God was more blessed by him willing to pray than even the breakthrough of coming out of the den. You and I celebrate the den, but God loves the fact that his son is willing to go and kneel daily and pray and call on him. Because when you pray and call on him daily, hey, there's no lion's den that's going to consume you. Amen. There's no Jericho that can stop you. There's no Red Sea that can keep you on the wrong side of your blessing. God knows those that seek him and seek his face on a regular way, those that honor and magnify him, there will always be a way made for those who love their God and love him with all of their heart. Come on, can somebody on a Sunday morning give your God praise? Look at somebody next to you and say, be faithful. See, being faithful and working obediently unto God will build your faith muscles. See, working and having faith is what? Having faith while no one's watching. Having faith when it's difficult. Having faith when you're tired. Having faith when someone else is getting the credit. Having faith when your attitude could go wrong, but you're allowing the fruit of the Spirit to abound in you. Working and having faith with excellence to what? To give all of the glory unto God. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working unto the Lord. When you and I find ourselves in a storm, and we will often in our life, you can lean into fear or you can lean into faith. And leaning into faith and being faithful and obedient will always bring a blessing and a breakthrough in your life. Not a breakdown, but a breakout. Come on, somebody. Not a loss, but a win, because God will bring you into victory every time by the power of God that operates inside of your life. I challenge you today. Be faithful. What do you see? Be faithful. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Secondly, be prayerful. What was Jesus doing while all this was going on? He was praying. He's showing us the example of what you and I need to do when we find ourselves out in the middle of something. When the winds are holding us back, circumstances are unfavorable, but we know God has in our life a destination. God has a plan for our life. God has a focus for our life. You didn't just show up taking up God's good air and God somehow caught unaware. God has a plan for your life. Can I get an amen today if you know that? Now, there will be things that will try to stop that or slow that up. But you and I have to remain faithful, working hard, being obedient to God. If he says, get in the boat and go, you got to get in the boat and you got to go. But then in the middle of that, what is Jesus doing? He is praying. He is showing you and I the example of how we need to position ourselves in the middle of our circumstance. Jesus is praying, and if he prays, we must pray. Prayer is at times alone, and sometimes prayer is with groups or a community. I have been praying. I pray alone, and as well, I pray with family, and I pray here at church. It needs to be something that's as natural as breathing in your life, that you find yourself at alone, intimate times with other gatherings, and then at times, communities of faith that are praying and believing that God's blessings are going to come and that God will sustain. Matthew 18 and 19 says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by their Father in heaven. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? I got about five folks. Who believes today that Matthew 18, 19, it says this, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, that it will be done for them by their Father in heaven. Who believes this morning that if you ask your Heavenly Father according to his will, God has three ways to answer. Yes, wait, or I have something better. Did you hear that today? God's answer is always to your prayer. And if you're willing to be obedient and be faithful, which means you are humble before him, doing his will, then you're ready to receive his answer. And his answer is yes. Who likes the yeses? Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. I didn't get enough hands. Come on, how many like the yeses, right? But also you got to be willing to live with the wait or I have something better. See, you and I have to wait on God, but yet ultimately, he says, again, if you ask, any two or three ask concerning anything, according, of course, to his will, then it will be accomplished by our Father in heaven. You know, God's math is where one plus one, when you and I are involved, it's only two. But with God, Deuteronomy 32 and 30 says this, one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. That when we're connected to God and we're connecting with one another, that we're one and one only makes two with you and me. With God, one plus one makes 10,000. That there is a multiplication that goes along with that, that is supernatural acceleration that God only gets the glory for, where that only God is the one. See, supernatural acceleration is when things move at the speed of the kingdom. See, you and I have a natural acceleration or speed. Things happen in our time and space. But when we're submitted to God, we're faithful. Everybody say faithful. When we're prayerful, everybody say prayerful. What happens is supernatural acceleration is involved in what would be at one speed. Now, all of a sudden, it is accelerated by the speed of the kingdom. Let me give you a quick example in your word. The Bible tells us of the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, how that he had spoke that there would be a drought that would cause a severe just famine in the land. 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Nothing happened. There was no rain, and so many were battling the circumstance. And then there's a point where he says, as he's praying, he prayed 7 times and then went and told Ahab, or had them tell Ahab, hey, head back home, get in your chariot and head back home, because I hear the abundance of rain. You need to get ahead of it, because I know it's been 3.5 years of drought, and we think this is all we're going to get for the rest of our life. But I've already prayed, and now I've seen a cloud out there heading this way. I hear abundance, and God is bringing the rain that's going to overflow. Get in the chariot and head home. How many know the story I'm talking about? Anybody know that? As Ahab gets in his chariot and begins to head home, here's what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18. It tells us that as Ahab is heading home in his chariot because the rain is coming, then that the man of God, Elijah, begins to run also towards that same destination. He's not in a chariot. He doesn't have more horses, doesn't have more of a sleek ride. No, he literally begins to run. And the Bible says that he outruns the chariot back home. That is supernatural acceleration, where the speed of the kingdom struck the natural and then the supernatural connected in that man. And that man ran faster and quicker than even horses could take the king. Can I tell you that when you trust and hold on to God and continue to pray and be prayerful and call unto God, remain faithful faithful and hold on to God, that there'll be a supernatural acceleration, that you could go one speed, but when God gets involved, you are moving at the speed of the kingdom. Come on, if you believe that, can somebody, come on, somebody give God praise. That means with your talent and opportunities and doors opening, the speed of the kingdom can make a difference. It means with what you have of only a little bit in your hand, that when you honor God, the speed of the kingdom can make the difference. Amen. It means where there might not seemingly be any opportunity or job opportunity, but the speed of the kingdom can hit your life and doors will open and people will walk into your life that you never would have known nor thought that they would even consider you. But the speed of the kingdom makes a way where there is no way. Hey, amen. God's timing is perfect. Can I get an amen, church? But you got to be faithful. You got to be prayerful. And then you cannot let the fear overwhelm you. Fear always wants to cloud. Thirdly, fearful. Fearful. Come to the piano if you would, Ronaldo. If you help me, buddy. Fearful. You know, when we're prayerful, when we're faithful, what happens is there's going to be fear that will come in. John 6, 19 and 20 says, "Then Jesus walking on the water or the sea towards them, that they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.'" Boy, I feel that in my spirit. I want you to look at me for a second. I don't know who I need to say this to. It's not me, it's the words of Jesus. Father, I trust you. I know right now that there's probably something you're battling, obviously, but I believe the Lord says, "It's I in the middle of your storm with you. Don't be afraid. It's me with you. Get your eyes on me. Don't be overwhelmed with fear." I don't know who needs to hear this, but the word of God, let me just read it to you right there. Just read what it says, because you need to hear it once again, because right now the noise gets cranked up by your circumstances and tries to drown out any other noise, or should I say any other voice. And here's what the word of God cuts through all of that and says. Where there might be fear, it is I. Do not be afraid. Pastor, you don't know the call I got last night. You don't know what 2020 is looking like in some areas of my life. You don't know the pain that I've dealt with for a number of years because someone hurt me or took advantage of me or wasn't there for me. And I'm not trying to be selfish. I'm not trying to be overly needy. It's just someone that should have cared for me because I cared for them. I put good things into this, and all I got back was no love, brokenness, and deceit and many other things. I'm shattered. I'm broken today. Let me tell you, here's what the Lord says, I believe, to somebody in this house. Just would you do this with heads bowed, eyes closed? I just feel this is a moment where the Holy Spirit is moving by His Word. The Holy Spirit says today to someone in this room, it's I, it's me. I know your name. I know what you're facing. It's I. Do not be afraid. Oh, Father, let that word right now just sink into the heart of the believers that need it the most today. The Lord said, it's I. Do not be afraid. Just hear that. Father, I thank you. Lord, your word. I could preach all day. We could sing all day. But God, it's your word that sets folks free. His word says today, it is I. Do not be afraid. It's I. Do not be afraid. Heads bowed, eyes closed, who would say today, Pastor Tony, you don't even know maybe what's going on in my life, but when I hear you say what Jesus said to them on that night, it speaks right to where I am right now. There's been fear, there's been worry, there's been stress, there's been anxiety, there's just been long nights, no sleep, or sleep, but I didn't get no rest. It's been from one day bleeding into another day, bleeding into a week, bleeding into a month, into a year, into a decade. I'm stuck and I am overwhelmed, but I hear the Holy Spirit cutting through all the mess and saying, I'm right there with you. It's I. Do not be afraid. That's you right now with heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you just raise your hand in this house if that's you? Holy Spirit, you're so good. Just put that other hand up right beside it, right there. If you have your hand up, just raise it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your power and your strength. I want every one of you to have your hand raised to stand with me right now. My last point, I want you to put on the screen, if you would. It's called supernatural. Your natural circumstance has you raising your hand. I want you to look at me. Those that are standing, all that are, if you would. There's a lot of folks that are standing. Your natural circumstance wants to overwhelm you with fear. But the Holy Spirit, through the Word, God's saying, my Word today is telling you, I'm with you. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I'm going to declare over your life. And here's what I want. If you come down here with me right from wherever you are in the building? Come on down. You're already standing, so you're already halfway there. Come on. Get your pocketbook. If you got to bring your kids down, we bring them down with you, whatever. Come on down. Be with us down here in this altar today. Come on. Avery, if you would. Please, if you would. Ron, Albert, come on. Stand behind, if you would. Denise, can you help kind of stand me behind this as well? Come all the way down. Press all the way down if you can, everyone. Yeah, Yolanda right there on the side. Thank you. Coming on down. Come on down. Holy Spirit, we love you today. We love you today. We love you today. We love you today, Father. We magnify you today. We trust you today, Lord Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. I want you to see this. Look at me right here. What do you see? What do you see? Only you really know, and the Lord knows, that all you see are the realities. Nothing wrong with that, because God does not deny you to not see the realities. He expects you to know that with those realities, he's greater than that. He's more than that. We don't want to send you out of here not saying that the stuff you've been facing is not real, or the tears that are puddling and now streaming down your cheek are not connected to something genuine and authentic. It is real. But God says today, I'm with you in this. Do not be afraid. Be afraid. The natural, he's going to put his supernatural strength to it, and then he's going to cause you to do something that you've been having trouble with. What is that? Look at me. You're going to begin to walk on that. You're going to begin to walk on the very thing that has been drowning you or trying to suck you to the bottom. Whatever it is, debt, weariness, brokenness, and hurt, whatever's trying to pull you down, listen, if you give the enemy strength in that, if you look to the wind or the wave or only believe the fears of what if, or it can only end badly, then can I tell you, you'll leave out of here maybe encouraged for a couple of days, but it's only a couple of days from now, you'll be sucked back down. But if you believe today, God sees you, knows your name, he's right there in the middle of it with you, don't be afraid, take courage, I am with you. And when he began to slip, Jesus immediately caught his hand, come on, Sister Hamilton, right here, caught his hand and pulled him out today and says, we're going to develop your faith. You got some faith, it's not that you don't trust, and the devil's a liar today because he's made you think you don't believe, you don't trust, you don't believe in God, you sing all them songs, you go out there to that church and you hear them preach and you give and you serve, but you don't believe. Because when things get tough, you fall up under the wave. The devil is a liar today. God, by the hand of Jesus, reaches out, pulls you up, and says, hey, oh, you of little faith, it needs to be tested. But aren't you glad that there was also a dad that had a great need? He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus said, only believe. But that man went home that day, whole in his body, had everything worked out in his life. Come on, can I get an amen if you know that? The hand of the Lord has reached out and caught you, and he's pulling you up. He's with you in this. He's with you in this. Come on, can you lift your hands right now to heaven? He's with you in this. Father, in the name of Jesus, just press in. Yeah, just press in. Just touch as many as you can back there, guys. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just as you reached out and grabbed those hands, Father, just as you reached out and you touched those hands. Church, would you point your hands this way right now? Just as you reached out, Jesus, I pray right now in the power of God, the supernatural is taking place. God, you're going to cause them to walk on what used to drown them. I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, let joy and strength come again. Father, we thank you today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke a devil that tries to make them feel that they will not believe, that they cannot trust, and somehow they are. Here's what I hear. The Lord is trying to tell someone, you are not damaged goods. You are his son. You are his daughter. The devil is a liar today. There is breakthrough coming for you. You could have been many other places, but God said, you're here today to hear my word. It is I, says the Lord. Take courage. I am with you in the middle of your storm. It is I. Don't be afraid. There will be winds and waves, but I'm greater than the winds and the wave. I am greater than the storm in your life. I am a mountain-moving, way-making God. Hold on to me, says the Lord, and I will provide a way of escape every time to my sons and daughters. Come on, church, can you give God praise today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take the hand of somebody right in this altar. Will you take the hand of somebody? Take the hand. Father, Lord, as we take that hand of the person on our right and on our left, Father, it's a sign of agreement. Lord, as he reached out, you caught his hand, and then when they willingly received you into the boat, they were immediately to the other side. Here's the three things I'm going to declare over you right now in the name of Jesus. Church, come on. Those that have your hands pointed this way, come on, point it this way. We're declaring three things that you will walk on. Peter walked on what others could not walk on. You're going to walk on what you couldn't walk on before by the power of God. Where there are unfavorable winds, the winds now, I declare, will cease in Jesus' name. And immediately, everybody say immediately, come on somebody, suddenly there will be the land or the destination that God has already prepared for you. You're going to walk on what should have consumed you. You're going to be able to see the destination reached, and you are going to hear and know that the winds are ceasing and dying down. This is a day of breakthrough, a day of change. So come on, say it with me. Would you raise your hands together in this altar? Raise your hands all over this altar. Come on, church, can you declare this with me? Everyone sing this with me. In Jesus' name, I can do all things through you. What I can't do on my own, I can do with you. What I could never cause on my own, you can make a way where there is no way. I trust you today to allow me to walk on what should drown me. Just like Peter walked on the water, I'm going to walk on the winds and the waves by your power and by your strength. Come on, can you say that? By your power and by your strength. And come on, declare it now. You might not see it for a little while, or it might happen by this afternoon, but begin to declare it. The winds are going to start to cease in Jesus' name. Come on, the winds are going to calm down in Jesus' name. The storm is going to stop in Jesus' name. And say it, and suddenly, come on, suddenly, I'll be at my destination. Suddenly breakthrough will come. Supernatural acceleration. Come on. The speed of the kingdom will meet me in my going, and God will make the way where there is no way. Come on, say it. God will make the way where there is no way. Now, if you agree with that, can you say in Jesus' name? Come on, release your hands and magnify our God. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him a high praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, don't stop. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. We willingly invite you into the boat of our life, God. We willingly invite you in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. Come on, everybody give him glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're good. Father, we willingly accept you in. Bring you in on a Sunday. But Father, now I pray it happens on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and by next week we'll already see some things beginning to turn. The winds are ceasing, Father God. We're doing things that were problematic. We're walking on things that used to trip us up. Father, I thank you today that we are immediately going to be at the place you've called us to be by your divine glory. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church, if you believe that, can you say amen today? One more time, give your God praise. Amen. All right. Willingly invite him in. That means every day, pray, read, get in your word, pray and read. These things that many of you are standing in this altar about today are not just things you just kind of hope away or I preach away on Sunday morning for you. It is you getting up, getting in your word, praying on a daily basis. Don't become legalistic. It don't have to be this or that. Just go after God. As you go after God and you willingly invite him into the boat, then what happens is there's that supernatural speed of the kingdom and acceleration that only he brings. And you'll know the grace, the joy, the peace, all these things that are happening that were all struggles prior. You know it's only by God's goodness that these things are being turned and worked for his glory. Do you understand that today? Come on, if you understand and receive that, can you say amen today? Head on back to your seats. God bless you. We love you. Encourage somebody. Come on, as you're leaving this altar, tell somebody God's got it. Tell somebody God has got it. God has got it. If you're in this house today as well and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I want to challenge you today to not leave this house without knowing Jesus Christ. It's been 30 years ago that I was a drunk driver on a Saturday night after my brother had been killed by a drunk driver 6 months prior. I was a church kid, but I didn't have church inside of me. I was a fake and a religious person, but I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If today you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then we're going to pray today. And here's what I'd like to do. We've done it before at different moments, but I would just like all of us, just once again, just recommit our lives and our hearts and our purpose to God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm saved. Well, great. What's nothing wrong with just reminding you and God and the devil, hey, I'm God's. I'm not my own. But if you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior right now, is to be in agreement with this prayer, to say, I don't want to leave this place the same way that I walked in. Would you say this with me with heads bowed, eyes closed? Say, Father God, I give you my life, my past, my now, and my future. I give it to you. I've tried a lot on my own, but I found out that I don't really have life unless I have you. So fill the void inside of me. Jesus, you're the Son of God. Control and direct my life. I trust you today. I follow you today. I am yours today. I leave this place saved. Sold out and after you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said amen and amen. Come on, if you love Jesus today, can you give him praise? Amen.